Callum squinted through the rain until the stocky frame and sloped shoulders of one of the men huddled there came into focus. You've got to be kidding me. A lightness spread through him. Thanks for the coffee, Steph. Pitching himself forwards to shield his cup from the rain, he made it inside the edge of the largest marquee. A man in a blue police uniform was talking to a group of SES volunteers. A large map spread open on a trestle table between them, its corners weighed down by bottles of waters and first aid kits. Eddie Quaid swept his hand over one edge of the map before looking up and indicating the dense rainforest in front. The volunteers scattered, a few patting Eddie on the back as they passed. Callum waited a breath before calling out. Eddie turned and his exhausted face moved from confusion to recognition, from surprise to delight. He closed the distance between them with half a dozen strides and embraced Callum. After a moment, he pulled away but didn't let go. He held onto Callum's shoulders, taking him in at arm's length. Cal, Jesus, what on earth are you doing here? I was about to ask you the same question. Eddie's dark hair now had a spattering of grey at the sideburns, and there was a vertical line running between his eyebrows that hadn't been there the last time they'd caught up. But the way his eyes crinkled when the corners of his mouth lifted hadn't changed in over 3 decades. Eddie let him go. Dealing with this bloody nightmare. Since when were you back in Granite?
Since Sunday.
4 days. And I've walked into a right shitstorm. Eddie's shoulders slumped. Droplets of rain glinted on the 3 white arrows of his epaulets, the same Callum's dad used to sport. Some local bloke's wandered off into the rainforest and he's yet to wander out again. Didn't show up for work yesterday morning. Alert went out late at Savo. Bloody Brett Wyatt's son, if you can believe it. He met Callum's eye. Half my luck. Wife and kids are in a right state. Anything so far?
Not much. His car's over there.
Eddie indicated a white ute blocked off by police tape at one end of the car park.
Found his gear up at the campsite. No other leads.
He glared, eyebrows drawn, in the direction of the rainforest and stepped further under the marquee. Callum followed.
We won't be able to keep up this much longer, though. Conditions are set to worsen. There's talk of a bloody cyclone forming off the coast.
Callum nodded. Not great news. Shit news, actually. He bit his bottom lip.
Have you checked the northwest boulders?
We've got a chopper scouring the area, but it's not likely they're going to find anything. Lockie's a local, and from what I gather, not an idiot. Eddie looked at him sideways.
Sorry.
A jolt deep down. He nodded once, and Eddie continued.
Look, the locals know not to go out there nowadays, especially in this weather. Besides, the campsite is on this side of the creek. He would have had to cross it to get to the boulders. That thing's running like a washing machine at the moment. So far, we've kept the search south of the water.
He blew out a long breath, eyes dropping to the map on the table. It showed the forestry to the north of the town. The serpentine creek that gave rise to the town's name weaved through the green mass running at an almost 45 degree angle from near the bottom left to towards the top right, southwest to northeast. The sprawling greenery that spread out south of the creek was wedge-shaped, widening the further east it moved. The distance to be covered was enormous. Callum ran his fingers across the map.
About 120 square kilometres, Eddie said.
That's what we're dealing with.
Jesus.
Callum's eyes were drawn to the grey contours of lines at the top left-hand corner of the map, the boulders. Eddie's shoulders slumped further.
Please don't tell me you're here in an official capacity.
Definitely not, just a concerned citizen. Eddie raised an eyebrow, didn't push it.
How's Millie?
Fine. The words soured in his mouth.
Actually, she's not talking to me at the moment.
Normal teenager stuff. A twinge as he recalled the argument he'd had with his daughter that morning. He pulled out his phone, suddenly heavy in his pocket. Nothing. No messages, no reception. A young constable, blue uniform drenched through, jogged over. He stood back a few metres and shifted his weight from one foot to the next, waiting for Eddie to look his way.
Sarge, they're just about to dismantle the campsite before the wind does it for us.
Eddie's brow eased. I better go supervise. Hopefully we'll get some sort of lead soon. Last thing I need is Brett bloody Wyatt breathing down my neck. He started striding off, then stopped. Turned.
Pop round to mine later. I'm going to check in on Dad about 8-ish if I can get away. He'd skin me alive if he knew you were in town and I didn't invite you round.
He jogged off without waiting for a response. Callum stepped up to the edge of the marquee.
Overhead, a helicopter disappeared into a cloud of mist, the thump, thump of its rotors drowned out by the heavy rain falling on the canvas above. He shifted his weight from side to side, matching the trees swaying in the wind. His shirt was plastered to his chest and back, and the air began to close in, pressing against him. His skin prickled. The rainforest was alive, watching him, waiting. Stay put, don't go in. But there was a tug within, a pull. His feet loosened in the sodden mud. One step out from the protection of the marquee, then a second. His mind screamed at him to turn back, but his feet carried him forward. The rainforest was calling.